Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Yamcha with me. I am Winnie. Today, before we begin our special episode, we always begin with our expression of the day. Today's expression is going to be 世界和平, and that means world peace, an ideal place where freedom and peace and happiness comes about. It's going to be relevant in today's episode. Before we begin, let's have our tea ready as we chat and we drink tea. Please welcome and meet my lovely friend, Mia Tom. Mia, thank you for being my first guest appearance on my podcast. It really means a lot to me because when you hear new perspective and new voices, it brings a lot of unity together. And studies have shown that if you're around people who are different than us, you tend to be more creative. To introduce you a little more, you're a former dancer, you're a music artist, you're a fashion brand owner, you work for UNICEF, an agency for the United Nations. Yeah. United Nations, I'm sure they're responsible for providing a lot of humanitarian service, especially to children in developing countries. What was that like working for you in UNICEF?
It was great. Honestly, it was one of the things on my bucket list, so to say. I always wanted to work with children in some capacity, so this opportunity was like a dream come true. I basically was the conference services host, so I would host the meetings for all of the humanitarian organizations and the workers there, and I even got to go into the United Nations building for Women's Day, which was a really great event, and just be in that type of international atmosphere and doing something for a great cause, because at the end of the day, we work for children. It was a great experience.
I was watching a Beyonce. It was like a United Nations video. And one of the quotes that was said on the video was, "One day, one message, one goal, to inspire people all around the world to do something good, no matter how big or small, for someone else."
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful. And it kind of ties into a saying in Buddhism, you always have to do good in people. If you do good by people and you have kindness, you know, there's a saying in Buddhism, it says, think good thoughts, say nice things, do good for others, and everything will come back.
Absolutely. It's like what you put out to the universe will always come back to you tenfold. What everybody needs to always remember, you know, it's all about you. It might sound self-centered, but it's not. It's about how you react to things. The things that you consume and think always makes a difference. Negative things will happen. If not, if you're positive, positive things will happen. It's a process, but it's a true process.
Celebrate our roots and our culture. This helps to understand ourselves a lot more and also our position in society, because you're able to learn about other people's culture. And then when you do that, I actually didn't know that. You're able to learn something new.
Right.
So with that said, do you feel like there's a culture that you most identify with?
I was born in New York, Harlem. I pretty much grew up in Finland, Europe, when we moved, when I was about like 4. It was always something, which box do I fit into, or how can I make myself be like everybody else? But the fact is, you're not, and you're not supposed to. You're a unique being, and I don't feel like you need to be boxed in or classified into anything specific. Obviously, I'm a person of color. I just live my life.
You mentioned that you were mixed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel like you were unique because of that? And that you maybe you look different than everybody else because appearance, skin color wise, you look different? Or do you think it was the opposite where you felt discriminated because of how you look? And I say that because when I was a child, like growing up in public school, you know, I was discriminated because I was literally the only Asian in my class. So everyone was like, all these Asian stereotypes. And it's like, eventually I've gotten used to it, but I felt discriminated. Like I didn't like being Chinese, or I didn't look a certain way compared to everyone. Yeah. Did you feel the same way?
Certainly, growing up in Finland was like a very different type of experience. There was still a lot of racism, and there probably still is. However, at that time, like growing up in the 90s, there wasn't that many people that looked like me. It's automatically different. guess I kind of developed my personality around that, because somebody doesn't want you to join, then why would you force it? You know what I mean? You're just going to be yourself. Like, you're going to find your own tribe, things where you feel comfortable and accepted. And that was also a part of why I moved back to the States in the mid-2000s, because I felt like I want to live my life less targeted on certain areas. Don't get me wrong, it was a very privileged to live in Finland. Like, honestly, we had everything. Like, cars, job, very good education. It's very clean. Everything works. Things on time. Glass cage almost. So you can only reach like a certain level out there. But I mean, I love my family out there. There are so many good qualities, but I also needed something else to be able to like build my career, especially at the time when I moved, when I was about 24, 25. Basically, I wanted to see if I could do something with my music career. So, of course, New York. I was going to go back home. I had already reached like a certain level in Finland. And at that time, people already started to like recognize me. And so I was like, you know what? I need to try something that's going to be next level for me. And also just find that purpose in my life.
How was that? I feel like when you want more for yourself and when you want to change, I think change is always the hardest part.
Yeah.
So growing up in Finland and then moving into New York, that must that's a big change, right?
Yeah. To move
from your friends and your family to then whole new place, you're not used to it. So how did you adapt?
My mom was very strict, for instance, with us in the sense that she always wanted to make sure that we knew where we came from. So my brother and I. So we would do summer vacation in Harlem at my grandma's house. We had like that understanding already. And also in Finland, culture is from America. We get like the same series. It kind of wasn't like missing too much out of like what was going on and how different it was. And also because we had spent time there. Coming back for me was just something that I think was in my timeline of my life, like something I needed to do. Because before that, I was already studying in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, Holland. Like I was doing 2 years of university. Decided, you know what, it was not for me. I hopped on a plane and came back to New York with 2 suitcases.
What you said right there is you knew,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I feel like people, they want to make that change, but it's mm-hmm. like they're scared. You gotta have to know yourself. You have to know like what your strengths, what your weaknesses in order to be.
Yeah, there's a saying that goes, your life starts at the end of the comfort zone. That's something we all have to like think about. Do you just want to live comfortably in your little bubble, or do you want to explore life? And you're still young, and I'm really proud of you that you're doing your thing, doing your podcast. That's what's up. Like, I really give props for that. I always tell you, like, go travel, go find out, take like a year off if you need to, and just like live your life, because that's how you're gonna find yourself and that's how you're gonna find your purpose in life.
Going back, right? Going back to what you said in Finland, what made it feel like it was a glass ceiling where it felt like you couldn't reach your potential? Like, was it the mindset of what they were telling you, where it's best to do a 9-to-5, an office job, opposed to York mindset where it's like, if you don't make it on time, you're late. Time is money.
Yeah.
What is that difference?
First of all, Finland is slow. I mean, like anything compared to New York is slow. Honestly, it's people's attitudes, really. Mm-hmm. They can't picture it. So then it's like hard for them to understand what you're picturing or envisioning. Honestly, this might sound really arrogant, but it felt a little bit too easy.
Too comfortable.
Like, it's a great place, raise kids in a different part of your life. But for me and my family at this time, I don't see myself living there, and I haven't seen myself living for almost 20 years. It's a really rich experience to have, because if I would have grown up in New York, just like you said, time is money, it's fast. So who knows what type of person like I would have actually ended up being. Just thinking about the pandemic, BLM movement as well. The atmosphere on Earth feels different, like the vibration on Earth after that feels really different, but also in a good way, you know, because we're constantly moving forward, you know, things are getting resolved. It's an interesting time in human history to be living at this time. Let's go back to Finland. Finland is like always something that I feel like will always be there for me if I need it. And having like my mom there and like other close people in the back of my mind also give me relief, because New York is harsh, New York is cold, and like my dad's side of the family that lives in Harlem, they're very different compared to my mom's side of the family in Finland. I really learned in New York, like, first of all, you gotta have like 2, 3, 4 incomes, you know, to make it. You gotta be on your P's and Q's. Something could pop off anytime, anywhere, any place. It's crazy. In Finland, you just, it's like living in suburbia.
Different environment as opposed to somewhere else, right? So you got to think about safety and security.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, have you been to like China? Have you spent like time there? Yeah.
Yes.
How was that compared to living in New York?
The mindset of people there in my hometown. So like I grew up in the country. So, you know, my parents were farmers, fruits, picking out vegetables, feeding animals, feeding like cows. So it's different because you have to work all the time, right? Like you're constantly under the sun where it's hot.
Yeah.
And that's why they're much more tanner than growing up in that environment where it's hot all day and you got to work as opposed to the United States where it's more laid back. I can work from home. I'm not sure if that's the same in Finland.
Finland is more high tech. They everything's like technological. Everything is on time, precisely on time. Glass page. You have everything there.
There. Do you feel like there's like a privilege of being in that environment?
I mean, honestly, their social structure is great. The Finnish social structure. I've always told everybody, like, we don't have homeless people on the streets.
Wow, that sounds a lot.
Yeah, it's very clean always. Look at the justice system, like the prisons, for instance, like life is only 15 years. You know, compared to America, I think it's about 25. People don't have guns. I don't think even the police officers carry guns.
Very interesting, right?
Yeah, very. And like prided myself at the fact too that especially when I was younger and I'd go out partying and get pissed drunk and go home, I could go home and walk in a miniskirt at like 3 a.m. and nothing's gonna happen to
you. Whereas in New York, if you do that,
you end up on the news.
Everything. Yeah.
No, you're gonna end up on the news. Very different.
You know, as a country, how they view the people.
Yeah.
Like if you view your people as, you know, good citizens and abide by the law citizens, then you know, the laws are gonna be applicable to them. But if you view citizens as human beings working like machines all day, like just how you view people is very different.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like you were targeted?
Honestly, moving from like Europe and then to America, that's where I like realized, like, for instance, like colors, which is like, it was really mind blowing for me because in Finland, first of all, if you're just not white, you're not white. That's where the line kind of is cut. Mm-hmm. Out here, it's like, oh, you can be light skin or dark skin or, and they separate you through that.
Right.
But then colorism is such a disease. Like, why do you have to separate people?
History.
Yeah.
They want to separate you. They want to be like, oh, he's lower than me because how he looks.
Yeah.
He's higher than me because of how he looks. And it's always been like that. It's been like a system of hierarchy.
I really hope like for the future of like this planet that we can all come together and let go of all that stuff. Of course, I'm a mixed person, so I'm like for everybody. And my son is like probably 6 different races. He's super mixed. So I hope for the future, that's going to be the world, because I think it's just disgusting how racism works and how colorism, especially in America, works.
Your baby is mixed. Absolutely.
Yes.
Gorgeous by the... How does that make you feel to know that your baby, when it goes up, it's going to be in this environment where you tried so hard to shelter him from.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, he's going to grow up to understand these things. How does that make you feel as a mom?
Of course, it's like a little bit nerve-wracking in a sense. My baby and his father and I, we're both mixed. We're all mixed. I'm going to tell my son, like, listen, you are the world. How genes hit anyway, the way he came out looking, it's such a beautiful thing. And also living now on the West Coast here in Nevada, in Las Vegas, there's so many mixed kids here. So it just like warms my heart. Like, okay, like, my son isn't the only one. I always joke about it with my friends, especially the ones who are like maybe mixed or from like somewhere else. In New York, it's like, if you're not black or white, then you must be like Puerto Rican. Like,
and they start generalizing.
Yes. Like, you know, how, like everybody always thinks I'm Puerto Rican or Dominican or something.
But it's crazy how they just generalize based on your appearance.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous because there's like a whole world out there.
Could that possibly be the mindset of New Yorkers just in general? They're used to what they're seeing.
Yeah.
I've heard so many times where people would tell me they've never seen an Asian. I'm like, you've never seen an
what?
Asian in your neighborhood before? And they're like, wow. No. Like, in Harlem, there's no Asians. But it's also because...
Yes, there is.
No, you'd be surprised by how many...
Wow.
But it's like, because they're used to their own environment, they're going to think, I don't see it. But there's
true.
A whole, you know, there's a whole country full of Asians.
Yeah.
But you just don't notice it because you're just boxed.
Bubble.
You,
exactly. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I just feel like New York is so big. It's crazy. Like, when you just walk down, let's say you just walk from Town Manhattan to Lower Manhattan, just see how the neighborhoods change. I feel like New York just so tough, but when you come out, like, to the West Coast, you see different, like, lifestyle, and there's a lot more people. Like, I know you've been to Cali, right? So, for instance, there's a large Asian population, and it's just completely different vibe.
People are more accepting.
Yes.
People are willing to help.
Yeah.
It's very different. It feels like in New York, it's like people are projected as New Yorkers are nice people, but people are disrespectful, straight up disgusting with how they talk to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Different vibe.
Honestly, this is really funny. Like, I actually had a conversation with my friend not so long ago about this, because she goes to Cali a lot, but she lives in New York. She was just saying, like, people are more friendly and accepting in a sense, but also fake. And then New York is, like, way more harsh, but people are real. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's like funny how, you know, East Coast versus West Coast.
Yeah. People are straightforward.
Yes.
And it can seem rude.
Yes. My husband keeps telling me every now and then, like, you're like God one. And I'm like, what? This is normal. What
this
are you talking about? Like,
you don't want to sugarcoat anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like in LA, I feel like people don't want to say mean things, so they sugarcoat it. But it's like, no, we're just going to say what we feel because that's what we think.
Right.
So again, mentality mindset is very different.
Honestly, we should do like a segment that is like hood versus ghetto. What does it mean? Like, I was explaining to my husband, I was like, like, there's a difference with hood and ghetto. Hood is like hood, like, you from New York, like, you know what's up, you're on the streets, but it don't mean that you necessarily broke or homeless, messed up.
Right.
And then ghetto is just ghetto.
Ghetto
is just like ghetto. Like,
absolutely. But I feel like that's just, you know, talk that people don't talk about. See it happen, they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
So
that's so true.
It was interesting episode because, you know,
yeah.
we learned a lot about, you know, different cultures. And
you
mentioned that I wish, previous statement, you mentioned that you wish there was a place where everyone can be kind to each other, help each other out. That's world peace.
Yeah, that's world peace, honey.
That's why I mentioned it in the first statement where I said, 世界和平, because it's world peace where everyone can just be free.
Right.
Peaceful and be happy with their appearance, how they look, how they dress, and not be judged.
Yes. Let me try that. Ping.
There you go. And put it
Ping.
There you go. That's
Yay!
But thank you so much for tuning in to my episode, Yum Chow.
Absolutely. This was great. Thank you so much.
And I look forward to future episodes where we're able to collaborate with each other.
Yes! Anytime, love.
Alrighty.
Love ya. Bye. Have a good day.